Of Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. We're going to be talking about the family today and about children as we join with these parents as they commit children to the Lord and commit themselves to the raising of their children in the nurture and the admonition of God. Did you know that the family was the very first institution that God ordained? In the very beginning, on the sixth day of creation, before there was a government, before there was a nation, before there was a state, before there was a city, before there was a village or a town or a county or a burg, there was a family. Before there was a church, there was a family. Genesis 1 and 27 says, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." The very first institution established by God was the family. I can tell you that the church is only as strong as its families are. That God's purpose for the church is to strengthen the family, not God's purpose in reverse, to have the family strengthen the church. Strong families will be a strong church. And a good church will strengthen and encourage good family life. God said, "I desire, male and female, that you come together in a marriage arrangement committed one to another forever, And I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to multiply, and I want you to make families in the earth. And through those families, I want you to subdue all of my creation. I want you to replenish this earth, and I want you to take dominion over it. It's to the individual family that God gave that charge. And it is one of the primary purposes of the Church of Jesus Christ to minister to families, to encourage families in the things of God, to instruct them in the Word of God concerning family life. And we see in the passage in Deuteronomy that I've referred you to, that we're going to be reading in just a moment, we see that when God called Himself together a people, many years after the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, that God called a people together down in Egypt, a people of slaves, the offscouring of that day's society. And He called them out of that bondage, and He led them on the road to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And 40 years they wandered in a wilderness as God was preparing them to take them into the land of promise, where He would be their God and where He would give unto them the inheritance that He had promised them, that belonged to them because of their faith in Him. Just as they were ready to go into the land of promise, Moses rehearsed unto them the history of their people and what God had done for them, and also gave them some instructions. And one of the primary instructions that God gave to this His people just prior to their entering the land of promise was concerning their family life and concerning their responsibilities to their children. And I read, beginning in verse number 22, the words of Moses as he is recounting, recalling, and retelling the story of the people Israel while they were in the wilderness. "These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire and of the cloud and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And He added no more. And He wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us His glory and His greatness, and we have heard His voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and He liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have, and lived? Go thou near." Now this is Moses recounting the words of the people to him many years before. "And they told Moses, Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. And speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken unto me. They have well said all that they have spoken." Now watch this next verse. "Oh," this is God speaking now to Moses, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." God's desire is to make it be well with you and to bless you and to bless your children forever. You can hear the desire that's in God's heart. He says, "Oh, that there would be such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep my commandments always. Then I would be able to bless them with well-being and with their children." God is concerned about your kids. He's interested in your children and in their well-being. He wants it to be well with you, and He wants it to be well with them. Then God said to Moses, Go say to them, get you into your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them. They may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you, and ye shall not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, so that these three things may happen to you. First, that thy days may be prolonged. In other words, that you may live long upon the earth. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it, number two, may be well with thee, and that, number three, ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. And then in verse number 20, these words, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what meaneth the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Now God gave Moses the word of the Lord. And he said, I want you to diligently teach this word to your children, that it may be well with you and well with them. I want you always also to be ready to give to your own children your personal testimony. When your son asks you and says, Father, what does it mean, all these commandments and these judgments of God? And why are these things important to us? That you would give them your personal testimony and you would share with your child what God has done for you. I wonder how many of us as parents who were born again either before our children came along or were born again perhaps when they were very young, how many of our children really know the testimony of their parents? How many of our kids really know what God has done for us? God spoke through Moses and said, be sure that your children have an understanding of what I have done for you and teach them of my commandments and of my ways. In the New Covenant, we have the same command. In Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 4, the scripture is given that we are to bring up our children in the nurture, the education and the training, and the admonition, the warning of the Lord. We have a commandment from God to so do. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and the 6th verse, we are instructed and promised in this way: train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The world has a saying that kind of goes along with that. It says, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. If you want to shape a tree, you don't shape it when it's this big around. If you want to bend it a certain way, you bend it when it's a twig. Then it will bend. As the twig is bent, that's how the tree grows. God's word says, train up the child in the way you want him to go. Mold him and form him and bend him when he is young. And when he is old, he will grow the way you bent him as a child. It's a command of God. It's also the promise of God that our children will not depart from it. Now would you turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah, the 54th chapter, and let's share a couple of promises here. This will be especially important to those of you parents who are dedicating your children today, but for any of you that have children, this is a promise or several promises here that should be significant for you and helpful for you when the stew is poisoned. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse number 13. Now these are not my words. You'll notice that when I preach mostly God's word rather than mine, because God's word is the one that has life, and God's the one who is able to bring the promises to pass. And so if he gave the promise, he can produce it. This is his promise for your children. Now get a hold of it. I can't tell you how many times I've thanked God for this scripture right here. And all thy children, not just one or two of them, not three or four of them, not all but one, but all thy children shall be taught or instructed of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Hallelujah. What a promise. If you have never needed that promise, you have still very young children. You will need it. Remember where it is. Now go to Isaiah 59 and watch with me the 21st verse. As for me, this is my covenant with them. How many of you have a covenant with God? Let me see your hands. If you believe in Jesus, you've got a covenant with him, with the Lord. The scripture says Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. This is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth. Now let me stop right there. How many of you have God's spirit on you, parents? Let me see your hands. God's spirit on you. How many of you have God's word in your mouth? Let me see your hands. Shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and for a few days. Forever. God's promise is if you love him and are filled with his spirit and keep his words in your mouth, God will see to it that that same spirit, his spirit, will be on your children, and his words will also be in their mouths. What a promise. Now it may seem to some of you that you wonder, did your children never hear anything when you brought them to church? Did they never hear anything around the house as you were sharing the things of God? You hold fast the promise of God. Now turn with me to Psalm 89 and watch this one. Now this is both good and bad for you parents. especially for you moms. You watch this carefully. Now, this is a part of the covenant that God's making with his people. Verse number 28. My mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. In other words, the covenant that God has made with you will be fast and firm. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, in other words, if your children, I take this personally. Now, it's God speaking initially here to David, but in Christ, we're the sons of David, are we not? Wasn't Jesus the son of David? And aren't we now as he is? And so I take this as a promise for myself. And if you can appropriate it, it'll benefit you. If his children, if your children forsake the law and the word of God and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments. How many times have we heard parents say, I don't know what's happened to my kids. I brought them up properly. I trained them in the right way. I fed them the word of God. I shared with them my testimony. They know how I love the Lord. I led them to the Lord at a young age. And now here they are in their teen years or their late teen years, and they think they know everything. And here they are. I know that they're breaking the law of God. I know that they're walking in sin. I can see it because their relationship with me is broken. And I'm going to tell you something, parents. If the relationship between your kids and you is broken, it's also broken between them and God. Do you hear me? That's how you can tell if your kids are in trouble. That's how you can tell if your kids are backing off from the Lord. That's how you can tell if your kids are walking in sin or whether they're walking in the Spirit. Is their relationship with you. When their relationship with you is whole, I'm not talking about deception now, I'm talking about whole. Then their relationship with the Lord is whole. When it's broken with you, it's broken with God. That's the way it works. Now, that does happen, even in the lives of Christian children. Now, this is the bad news for you, Mom. Verse 32, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. God said, now you can cry all you want, but I'm going to beat your kid. I'm going to see to it that there's a price to be paid for his transgression and for his iniquity, and it's going to hurt him. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Now get a hold of that one. See, that's a hallelujah. That's right. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. And so it may not always be a bowl of peaches when you're raising your kids. And your children may have to suffer for the sin that they commit, and for the transgressions that they do. But God, because of you, as godly parents, will not take utterly his loving kindness from that child, nor suffer his faithfulness to fail. Now that's a wonderful promise for you moms and dads that are having difficulty believing for a wayward or a prodigal child. God will chastise, but he will also restore. Now it's very important that we have services like this where we provide this specific opportunity for parents to come and say, hey world, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord God Almighty. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I believe I have a covenant with my God, and I believe that that sets my children apart from the world's children. There is a difference in your kids because you're a Christian. Sometime I think we may take a time and just preach that. Maybe we do it tonight even. There's a difference in the way God views your children than the way he views the children of the world simply because you're a believer. Your kids have a place with God that the kids of unbelievers do not. I show you that out of the scripture. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. And let's establish here a pattern. We have, let's see here, six or seven, I think, six parents or six babies that are going to be dedicated today to the Lord, and two older children that'll be dedicated to the Lord. And as we do that, we release our faith that that which is committed unto the Lord, He is able to keep according to His promise. But as we approach this time of dedication, I want to share the Bible custom, and I want to share the experience of three sets of parents. And hopefully, it will set a stage for us this morning and prepare us for what the Lord may want to do today. The first story is in 1 Samuel in chapter number 1. The story concerns a man by the name of Elkanah and his wife Hannah. Hannah was a barren woman. She had no children. Subsequently, the Lord opened her womb. In verse number 19, the story is given of the birth of a son to Hannah and Elkanah. It says, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass about that when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." Now you'll remember the story that some months prior to that, that Hannah had been praying in the temple, and God had heard that prayer. And the priest Eli knew she was praying, didn't know what she was praying about, but said to her, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him," not knowing what it was that she wanted. He just spoke the word of faith. "Go ahead, God grant you what you've asked for." And sure enough, she went home, and she turns up with child. "And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. She said, I'm going to do for him all that I can really do, and that is I'm going to give him a good start, and I'm going to wean him, and then I'm going to commit him to the Lord forever. And so totally did she mean this commitment that she actually gave Samuel, the tiny child, into the Lord's service and went back home without him. Now that is what you call dedication. That is what you call commitment. "And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. And so the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord." Now the word lent means given. "I have given him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be given to the Lord. And he," that is Samuel, "worshiped the Lord there." Now watch as the child is dedicated to God. Watch what happened to Hannah. And see what was going on in her heart. And she began to pray, and apparently she prayed aloud. Out of her soul sprung this spontaneous prayer. "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." And she went on to pray another seven or eight verses, a prayer of praise and worship and thanksgiving unto God for having given her this son. And so here's a mother who is committing her child to the Lord and releasing this spontaneous praise vocally out of her mouth. In the New Testament, we see a father's reaction at the time of dedication, and it's in Luke's gospel, the first chapter. The story is recorded in Luke chapter 1 of the conception and the birth of the man John the Baptist. And you'll recall that in this circumstance also, John's mother had been barren. His mother's name was Elizabeth. His father's name was Zacharias. Zacharias was a priest in the temple in Jerusalem, and he was an elderly man, as was his wife, an elderly woman. They were without child. One day in the temple, an angel appeared unto Zacharias and said, "Your wife is going to have a child. You'll call his name John, and he's going to be the one to prepare the way of the Lord." Zacharias didn't believe it. You'll recall that. And the angel said, "Because you didn't believe it, you're going to be struck dumb until the child's born." Well, sure enough, Elizabeth comes up pregnant, and she is pregnant 6 months before Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb. And when John was born, the story is told to us in the 57th verse of Luke chapter 1, and they named the child John. Zacharias' mouth was opened, and in verse 67, as they committed him to the Lord, this came forth from his father. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which hath been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Now here was the child's father. At the time of dedication, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he prophesied concerning the life and the ministry of his son. And so, moms and dads, I want you to be prepared this morning to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit as you bring your children to be dedicated to the Lord, whether they be babies or whether they be older children, that if God would want to speak something to you about your children, it's very possible he may use your own mouth. And so would you be open to that? And here are a mother and father who knew from the very beginning that this little child, John, had a special ministry in the kingdom of God. And God had instructed by the word of prophecy what that ministry was going to be, that this man, John, would turn the people to God and prepare the way for the Lord. In Luke chapter 2 is the third and the last story I want to share with you, and it concerns the dedication of the child Jesus by his mother Mary and by his father Joseph. Luke chapter 2 records his birth. That story is very familiar to us. It came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. But the latter part of that passage, or the middle part of that chapter, is perhaps not quite as familiar. It begins in verse number 21. We're told that when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That was the custom in those days. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. In other words, Mary, you're going to have your own questions about this child that you've birthed. Some of the things that he says about himself, you're going to wonder about them too. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Here's a woman, 84 years old, who had been married for 7 years and then apparently had been widowed and had remained a widow for some 60 years and did nothing but serve God. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And so here is one situation where a mother is ministering praise unto God at the time of dedication of her child. The second situation is a father moved by the Holy Spirit and prophesied concerning his own child and the ministry to which God had called that child. And here with the third child, here is a man and a woman unrelated to the family gathered there in the temple, and God Almighty had them there for that particular service. I believe you're here this morning, not by coincidence. I believe you're here because God wanted you here this morning, and he's got you here for his purposes. And it may very well be that God would want to use you in this particular way. And I want you to have liberty to share the word of the Lord on behalf of these children that are being committed to God. Notice in the 40th verse, after Jesus was dedicated to the Lord, look at what God's word says about him. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, I want you to know, beloved, we're not doing this morning because babies are cutesy and sweetsy, and it's kind of a nice thing to do in a church, just to dedicate. That's not what we're doing here today. We're not going through a form or a ritual. This is not religion. It's practicing faith in the Word of God. It's practicing the life that God has given to us. When we commit these children to the Lord today, we expect them to grow and wax strong in spirit and be full of wisdom and to have the grace of God be upon them. And this is not just a cutesy exercise. Yes, babies are cute, but that's not what's going on here today. What's going on here today is 8 children are being committed and dedicated by their parents to the kingdom of God. And they are making commitment and promise as parents to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I expect the Spirit of the Lord to move today as we minister in His name to the parents. I want you to be prepared to be instruments and vessels of the Lord's service. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this particular service, for the service of children's dedication. And we're delighted, our Father, that You have given us these examples in the Scripture that we know that what we are doing is not just because it's traditional in the church, but it's that which is ordained by You. We know, our Father, that as our children are committed to the Lord, that a spiritual, practical blessing takes place in their lives. And what is going to happen here in the next few moments is, regardless of whether we can see it or hear it, taste it, smell it, or feel it, that Your Spirit is moving among us to do a supernatural work in our parents and in our children. Thank You, Father, for the opportunity to participate in it as believers. In Jesus' name, amen.